Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to welcome in on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, good friend of the show. It's Chris Nocke, color analyst on the Terps Radio Network. He was in Jacksonville this weekend.
Oh, C-Knock.
Calling the Terps action.
C-Knock, just a devastating loss. I mean, they didn't. Their first half was poo-poo. They played like butt. They played really well in the second half. But, man, what a tough way to lose a game.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to decide. I was watching somebody play. Oh, I'll tell you what. I was watching Iowa play yesterday afternoon.
Right.
Strange game that was. And I was watching them get spanked in the first half, thinking to myself, what would be better, to lose at the buzzer or to get absolutely hammered, drilled, and not have a chance? And like Villanova, for instance, against Purdue. Now, unbelievably, Iowa came back, much like the Terps did, and made that a really, really interesting game. But that's a hell of a way to lose, man. I mean, you know, you go down there, you're right. Lurch, I tell you what, man, I thought the Terps played okay in the first half. They didn't make any shots. They had all sorts of open shots, didn't make any of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, LSU was pretty good in that first half. But any way you look at it, when you get down 15, you got some major work to do to get yourself back in the game.
Chris, when Turge slapped the zone on them in the second half, I mean, LSU looked completely out of their element. They looked befuddled, like they could not figure it out. Did you feel like Turge should have done that earlier, like in the first half, or were you okay with when he went with the zone defense? Because LSU really struggled with it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny. Turge have played like, in the only other game where there was an extended period of zone was against Minnesota at Minnesota, and they looked the same way. They looked like they'd never seen a zone, a practice
right.
against a zone, and so it worked. You kind of are who you are at this point in time of the season, and Maryland has been a man-to-man team about 98% of the time. You know, in retrospect, sure, you look at it and you think, gosh, you know, if we'd gone to that with 15 minutes left in the first half instead of 15 minutes left in the second half, maybe it would have been a different game. But like I said, you know, you kind of are who you are by the time March rolls around. And, you know, it served the purpose. It certainly got them back into the game. And I, for the life of me, I can't understand how teams look that disorganized and against the zone. I mean, basically they were playing pass and catch around that 3-2 zone. Made it pretty easy to cover.
They had no idea. And, by the way, Waters is special. If Waters isn't going to be the best point guard in the country next year, he'll be top five. He is a special talent. He's fun to watch. His passing in the lane, his ball handling, no-look passes. I mean, he's really, really – that's a tough kid to defend.
Yeah, he also has that – and they list him at – I think they list him at 5'10". There is no chance.
He's small.
Cakes could post him up.
Oh.
I mean, he finishes in around the basket like you can't believe a guy that small can finish. He's pretty remarkable player, no question about it.
Talking to Chris Nocke, voice of the Terps on the Terps Radio Network. One of the things we were kind of kicking around off air actually is our impression of the Terps offense when Bruno gets double teamed. Why isn't it better? I mean, he gets double teamed all the time. It just doesn't seem like guys are cutting the basket hard enough, or they just don't seem to react well when he's doubled.
And
it happens all the time.
And he also looks a little bit lost. I mean, at times this year, Chris, he looked pretty good, and I think he got better than last year, but he still looks kind of lost when he gets doubled. He doesn't really know what to do.
Yeah, I'm going to put most of that on Bruno, to be honest. I do think he's come miles. I just think that, you know, when you run two and three guys at him, I thought LSU did a really good job. And a lot of times it was Waters. A lot of times the double teams against LSU were coming from places you normally don't get double teamed from. They'd sneak a guy around on the baseline side, you know, from the opposite block, and you know, Waters was effectively playing sort of a rover position at times when they were sending guys at Bruno. So I do think that they solved a lot of their problems. You know, so they were so much better at the end of the season than they were in December at dealing with that stuff. But, you know, it's for Bruno, it's kind of an unusual look to get double and triple teamed. I wish he'd gotten more comfortable with it, but I do think that he understood what to look for. Sometimes I think there were panics. Sometimes there were plays made by the defense. And, you know, it puts a kid in a strange situation when you run into two and three guys at him every game.
Jalen Smith hit the game tying three, and I'm just kind of thinking this.
Like, by the way, I thought Chris Knocke was going to send me a text.
Yeah, he hit a three.
If they win that game, I guarantee you Knocke sends me a text. Yeah, he can't shoot threes,
well,
can he?
I thought of you. Although the second it went through, I thought of Jason. I was like, that's the guy he said should never, ever take a three-pointer.
Although he clanked his first four.
That's true.
But that was a
clutch
big one.
Hey, so he's right on percentage.
Right.
No, but what I wanted to ask you was about kind of is he somebody who might – like entertain the NBA after a freshman year
because he
has the physical ability.
You can't.
And these guys all do it nowadays. They entertain.
You know, I've stopped trying to figure out who should go and who shouldn't go.
Right.
But the way the combine is set up right now, there's no downside to a player going and seeing what they think of him. He is not. I don't think he's ready emotionally, psychologically. I just think that he's got a lot of maturing to do, but, you know, kind of between the ears as much as anything else. He is really physically gifted. He can run like a deer. I will tell you that he's a much better three-point shooter than Jason thinks he is. If you had been courtside, he would have pointed at you.
Oh,
sure.
I know.
Hey, it's not always about the percentages. If it's about the percentages, you would have hit your free throws against Archbishop Molloy.
Yeah, I did. I clanked the front end of a one-on-one.
still throwing the Molloy free throws back in your face.
You got to use what you got, Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But he, you know what? He's got those measurables that the NBA loves. I mean, he's long. He can run like a deer. He does have range. And I think he'll – I'm almost sure he'd go to the combine. I don't know why he wouldn't.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the reason why I bring it up is a year ago, I didn't think – I would have thought that Herter was going to play another year. And he ended up getting a first-round draft pick, and he's played well in the NBA.
Well, he went there as an afterthought. And you know, and then a few hours into the combine, he's hearing from people that, hey, man, sit this next game out. You already played your way into the top 20. Mm-hmm. You know, so things happen, man. And you just because a guy had a certain year that, you know, as a college player, that doesn't mean that he's not going to, you know, make these guys drool when they get to the combine. It's just it's almost a different game. And they're looking for different things than I think that we're used to looking at college players.
And we're going to get into the Sweet 16 matchups here in a second, and I don't know how much you want to reveal. I know these are private conversations, but can you give us just kind of a vibe or a feel of what the locker room was like and what your conversations with Turge was like after that game?
No, it was, you know, it's no fun. I mean, and it's kind of weird. I think I said this to you in a text over the weekend. You go from the delirium after beating Belmont in what was just a phenomenal game. You know, you go from the locker room after that game to the locker room, you know, after LSU, and it's as night and day as you could possibly imagine. And you know, Turge was a good soldier. You know, he went out and answered every question, talked to everybody who posed the question at the press conference, and then in the locker room. But he loves this team. You know, he's said it all year long, and I think it just broke his heart that they would not only lose that way, and you know, it's just a tough way to go out.
Talking to Chris Knocke, voice of the Terps Radio Network. So let's get into the Sweet 16. Duke's there as expected, but nobody expected what I think is probably the game of the tournament. Talk about the last 2 minutes there. We've kind of kicked it around. To me, UCF just got to make a couple plays. Block out. Block out on Zion's three, block out on a free throw, and you win the game.
I tell you what, the guys at ESPN had to be gripping down the stretch of that game, because what in the world would they talk about if Duke got bounced? You know?
Good point. So, I have Zion fatigue, by the way, but personally. That's just me.
Well, I mean,
I'm all Zioned out.
I mean, could they hire more former Duke players for their college game day cast? I mean, good Lord.
Exactly. Well,
Gary Williams probably didn't watch that show.
Yeah, right.
They make that tip 99 times out of 100. I mean, that's as easy a tip as you're ever going to get, and it rolled out. But there were so many plays that led up to that. It was just incredible. Clearly a two-handed push on the missed free throw, but it's only a push if they call it. The missed alley-oop on the break, where all you have to do basically is convert, or you just pull it back out and run off 30 more seconds. There were so many plays in that game down the stretch. It was just hard to believe with the opportunities they had in the last 10 seconds that UCF didn't win that game. And that would have been sweet. That would have taken a little bit of the sting out of the Terp loss for me, but that's just me.
So Liberty punched Virginia Tech in the mouth early in that game, and they had about an 8-point lead. But Virginia Tech got it together, ended up, they were still down 4 or 5 in the second half. But in the last 10 minutes, they really just kind of ran away with it, and they win fairly easily. They've beaten Duke this year. I think they only played them once, beat them without Zion at Castle. What are your thoughts on this matchup? Virginia Tech can really shoot the ball, and Robinson special at point.
You know what? They can also really defend. They got good quickness. They play really hard. I just don't know they've got the level of athleticism to deal with Duke with Zion. I really don't like this matchup for Virginia Tech, although I think they've had a phenomenal season. I just, there's going to be an interesting offseason at Tech. They're going to lose some guys. I don't know. His buzz, is this the ceiling for Virginia Tech basketball? I mean, they had a hellacious year in the ACC. Are they going to somehow leapfrog over Florida State, Duke, North Carolina? I mean, is that this might be the best that they can be? I mean, I'm just saying. So it's an interesting time for Tech basketball.
What about Buzz? I mean, Buzz.
That's what I mean.
Although I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to play the long game. Like, how many more years is Coach K going to be at Duke? How many more years is Roy Williams going to coach? Like, you could wait it out, and then maybe you'll be the top dog.
You think they're not just going to pluck the top coaches out there to take over those programs?
Chris Nockey comes back.
There you go. Why not?
I think a program like Carolina has this sort of institutional momentum and inertia that they're always going to be North Carolina. Duke may be a little bit different animal, but Carolina's been good for as long as I've been alive.
I mean, Kansas stayed Kansas after Roy left. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if you're the basketball coach in Blacksburg. I just don't know that you can expect a much better season than this. It has been it's been a historic season, I think, for them.
So, all right, so you like Duke in that first matchup. What about LSU, Michigan State, also played here in D.C.?
Yeah, I like Sparty in that matchup. I mean, this is kind of Izzo time. I was impressed by LSU's. Their athleticism is crazy, and the size is great. But Michigan State's got a little bit of both of that. And the showdown of the tournament might be the point guard matchup in that game, Cassius Winston and Tremont Waters. That's going to be a great show right there.
By the way, what was your take? You're a guy who coached at AU, former coach. What was your take on Izzo's confrontation with his player?
Well, I mean, the optics aren't great. But I've sat next to Izzo on the at the scores table and heard what he has said to his players, and I don't think I ever said that to my Labrador, when he was alive. But that's just who he is, and there aren't many guys like him. And I'm not, in this day and age, there are only a few guys who do that, and only probably less number of guys who can actually get away with it. But that none of that surprises me at all at this point in time. I guess we make it a bigger deal because of the optics of it, because he's doing it on such a public stage.
Yeah, optics were not good. All right, so Virginia has not looked good in either game, certainly not in the Gardner-Webb game. They looked great in the second half, but they struggled. They were down big. They didn't look great last night. Kyle Guy goes 0 for 10 from threes, but they're so good defensively that Oklahoma just had no idea what to do. Now they're going to play Oregon, who's won, I believe, 10 straight. Now, Oregon's two opponents, Wisconsin, can't score, Irvine, a 13 seed. Not the toughest matchups, but they're playing well. That Pritchard kid, the point guard, playing really well. Do you give Oregon a shot against UVA?
I think it depends a little bit on Guy. If Guy's not shooting the ball well, and he hasn't, then I think Oregon's got a shot. And I also, yeah, Oregon does not need to apologize for who they beat to get into the Sweet 16. I mean, they came in on a heater. I think they've won 8 games in a row coming mm-hmm. into the tournament. So they played their way in, and they've kept the momentum going. I'm sure Oregon will be competitive in that game. But I like UVA moving on.
All right, last question. In the Midwest, Carolina, Auburn, this should be like an NBA game. I wouldn't be surprised if one of these teams is in the 90s, if not both. And then you got Houston and Kentucky. Kentucky's going to be without P.J. Washington again, I would assume. Who do you like in these matchups?
I think Houston is good enough to beat Kentucky. Their guards are excellent. They've had a really great year. I think that's going to be a really good game, probably defensive-oriented. And the other one, I like Carolina actually to win it all. And I think they'll beat Auburn, although Auburn is one of those teams that's playing great right now. I mean, they just shellacked Kansas. So I see that is a 90-85, 90-87 kind of a game. And that one, I think, might be the game of the Sweet 16 in terms of entertainment value.
All right, Chris. Always love having you on. It's Chris Nockey, voice of the Terps on the Terps Radio Network. Thanks, pal.
See you, Christopher.
Hi, guys.
Talk to you, man.
Thank you, Mr. Nockey.
All right, coming up next, we wanted to get into something that we opened up the show with, and we'll open up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. Do you like the tournament so far? Out of 16 teams in the Sweet 16, 14 of them are the favorites. In the East, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 alive. In the West, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 alive. In the Midwest, 1, 2, 3, and then 5. So there really aren't any Cinderella stories unless you're talking about Oregon, the only team seeded below 10 that's advanced to the Sweet 16. Because even in the South, UVA, the 1 seed, Tennessee, the 2 seed, Purdue, the 3 seed, all alive. Are you liking this tournament? I would say that the game of the tournament thus far was the UCF-Duke game. Mm-hmm. But Duke survived. Like, if UCF won... I know we had a caller who said that would just be terrible and people wouldn't be watching and CBS wouldn't make a bunch of money. Who cares? You would have that team to root for. Last year, it was Loyola of Chicago. And to me, it's not as entertaining because now with Maryland out of it, being an alum, I don't really have a vested interest in any of the teams.
Right. Like, Except for anybody who plays Duke now. So now maybe now you're
Duke,
a Tech fan.
And for whatever reason... I'm kind of rooting for UVA just because I think I like Coach Bennett. Seems like a nice guy, mm-hmm. and he's never made it to the Final Four.
Although so he won't do our show.
I'm rooting for them to make it to the Final Four.
Feel a little bit salty at him.
Yeah. Is it he won't do the show, or we just haven't been able to book him?
I think we've requested him multiple times, and he never has time.
Maybe he's
for
always
us.
Busy.
I mean, you could ask Drab, but he's always busy.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah.
Some people are just busy all the time. So you got a couple locals. You know, I'm sure we have a huge Hokies fan base. They're excited about the Hokies being in the Sweet 16, take on Duke. I'd love to see the Hokies beat Duke.
Well,
that would be awesome.
Plus, in this area, I mean, you've got two really good games this week at Cap 1, mm-hmm. right down the street. I mean, that'll be fun. That place will be mobbed. Are they playing Thursday or Friday? I think that's Friday.
I feel like it's Friday, Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's Friday, Sunday. So, as a basketball fan, I like it. I know there have been a bunch of blowouts in
which,
the first couple rounds.
Which, by the way, is perfect because you have Nats opening day and 106.7 The Fan Day on Thursday, Saturday. So Thursday, Saturday can be your baseball days locally, and then local if you want to go to the games, college hoops. I hear that tickets to go see Cakes' favorite player, Zion Williamson, the cheapest you're going to find, $450 for one seat.
I better scrape together that money, buy myself a ticket.
All right, we'll take your calls next, 800-636-1067.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, coming up in just about 35 minutes, we'll pivot and start talking a little bit of Redskins as Craig Hoffman joins us. He is at the owners' meetings out in the desert. I believe they're out in Arizona, so he will check in with us at 9 a.m. to talk all things skins. But right now, we're taking your calls at 800-636-1067 on the NCAA tournament. Has all the chalk kind of bored you in the first weekend of the tournament? All the high seeds advancing outside of Oregon, making it to the Sweet 16. Has it kind of, I don't know, dampened your expectations for this tournament going forward?
I mean, I realize there have been a lot of blowouts in the first couple of rounds. Haven't been many buzzer beaters, if any. But, I, you know, just as a as an avid college hoops fan like I am, I like seeing the, you know, not just because I pick brackets this way, but it's hard to pick upsets in the first couple of rounds. But I like seeing the better matchups. You know, I know a lot of people like to see the Cinderella stories of the world. Loyola Chicago last year, great story. But I think these are the best matchups. You know, Duke-Virginia Tech should be a great game. LSU-Michigan State should be a great game. I think Florida State's actually going to beat Gonzaga, if you want to consider that an upset. I just like Florida State's depth and their athleticism. I know Drabby probably disagrees with me. But I just, you know, Texas Tech-Michigan should be a grinded-out, boring defensive game. But I think it'll be fun to watch. UNC Auburn, that's a must-see game. That's must-see TV if you like, you know, a lot of offense. So I like it. I don't think Oregon's going to beat Virginia, but that would be a great story if somehow
but
Oregon could take them out.
But you're kind of looking forward. Do you think the tournament thus far, the 4 days of the tournament, has been boring? Some people would say
no.
That 800-636-1067 because there hasn't been enough, you know, close contests. I would say this. Moving forward, I'm a little disappointed in a couple things. Number one, you don't have the Cinderella. And number two, somebody like John Morant, I would have liked to seen him play more than just two games. Especially, like, for me, I hadn't really heard of John Morant, definitely until a couple months ago. And then all of a sudden, you start hearing this guy from Murray State might be a top five pick in the NBA. And then you finally, look, you just don't see Murray State play often. So you finally get to see him, and he has a triple-double in his first game. And even in the game that they lost, he put up some pretty good numbers. So it's kind of disappointing that you don't have John Morant in. You have Cakes' favorite, Zion, still in. But
almost,
I'm a little disappointed about that.
He almost went home after yesterday. I mean, that game couldn't have been closer. Ball was just sitting on the rim on the tip-in attempt by UCF at the end of the game.
I do think there is something to be said, and I'm sure that the ratings will be really good for the Sweet 16 when you have the blue blood teams.
Oh, there has to be.
North Carolina, Duke, Michigan, Michigan State. I mean, those are big programs. It's great to have all those teams in there. Just would like kind of a Cinderella story and maybe a couple other guys to be on my radar, a la John Morant.
Can you imagine?
And maybe it's the guy from Gonzaga, because the guy from Gonzaga, I watched Gonzaga beat Duke earlier this season, and they were really hyping up the Hachimura kid.
Right.
And he's going to be an NBA player.
Well, so is Brandon Clark.
I didn't know as much about Brandon Clark. And then he has a monster. What he scored 35.
That's because he didn't play last year.
Okay.
Right. He's a transfer. He
had 35 on 15 of 18 shooting.
I mean, great.
Think about that.
He's a great
15 of 18 shooting, Cakes.
But to be fair, JP, you're a bad example because you only watch, you'll watch Maryland games.
True.
You'll watch the locals.
I'll watch a big game on a Saturday.
Yeah, you don't really pay attention to much across the country. So
true,
that's
but
why.
That's probably, look,
most fans,
most of
I
our
agree.
Listeners
I agree.
Are like that. I mean, that most college basketball fans are local college basketball fans or fans of their alma mater.
Yeah, they're just casual fans.
They know something about Purdue. If you went to GW and you live in Fairfax, you're not following Purdue. You're just not.
Yeah, like I said, I agree. Most fans are just casual fans.
By the way,
and they really get into it for the tournament.
Can you imagine the sweats from the network suits during the Duke-UCF game?
Oh, yeah.
That they're going to lose their prize, Cal, Duke, and Zion in the first weekend of the tournament? Oh.
But you still have three number ones.
No, but during
the timeouts,
we've seen the Zion mania.
Yeah,
like that is driving ratings, and more importantly, it's bringing casual eyeballs to the table, which is what the networks
want. On Friday night, my son wanted to go to our local spot, Poorhouse. Right,
yeah.
They have all the TVs, and I wasn't aware of this. So they have the four games going on at once.
Mm-hmm.
So sitting there having my burger, you got the four games, and then when one of the games went to halftime. One of the smaller TVs goes to the Zion cam.
Right.
So he had his own cam. Like, I remember when NBC Sports Washington did that with the OV cam?
Sure.
So it is, I mean.
That's the treatment.
Has that ever happened?
Not that I can recall.
In college basketball, where they have a camera dedicated to one player when he's just walking around?
I can't recall it happening.
They think that everyone wants to see every movement,
I guess,
that he makes. Anyway, so 800-636-1067 is the number. Kind of a two-part question. Are you happy with the tournament so far? A lot of blowouts, chalk advancing, and are you looking forward to these matchups? Because I am.
Let's go to Eddie in Centerville. What's up, Eddie? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I think this tournament has been really, really awesome to watch. I'm a big fan of Houston. I think Houston Gonzaga should be the final. But yeah, I not only did I win, you know, a little bit of money this past weekend, that besides that, it's just been a great season all around. Just a lot of athletes that are playing well, a lot of high jumpers, a lot of a few big names here and there. So yeah, overall the March Madness has been a pleasure to watch.
I'm curious, why a fan of Houston, Eddie?
Oh man, all five of them are ballers. Mm-hmm. Corey Davis, Robinson, Gerard, all of them. They're all like athletic.
It's a good team.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
Yep. Good coach, even though he likes to cheat a little bit. He's a good coach.
He likes to yell a lot too. I was watching some of the Ohio State game. I mean, every time they cut away to Calvin Sampson, a lot of rickness from him.
Yeah, he gets into it.
He gets intense.
Yeah. Well, most of them do. Did you see Roy Williams? You see Roy Williams last night?
Yeah, of course. It's their lives. I mean, it's their livelihood. Of course.
Roy Williams is going bonkers.
Right.
Did you see Roy's...
The only guy who doesn't yell a lot, Tony Bennett, doesn't yell a lot.
Yeah.
Did you see Roy's post-game locker room stuff with his team?
I did not.
So he's in the locker room, and he did kind of a math bit with them.
Okay.
Like, I think he was trying to pump them up that they were in the final 16.
Right.
And maybe it was that they were sitting around and couldn't respond, but... It almost seemed like they struggled. He was like, all right, so they started with 64 teams and cut it in half. Does anybody know what 64 divided by 2 is?
Oh, that's embarrassing. One no one can pull
of,
it?
One, no, they pulled it, but it was like one guy kind of in the back was like, 32.
Right.
Yeah, but he wasn't sure about it from the sound of it.
And then Roy's like, all right, so then we're down to 32. And then divide that by 2. How many's left? And then one guy, like, 16.
Didn't North Carolina cheat on all their math tests?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
That makes sense.
I think after that he went to the chalkboard.
Yeah. Might want to stop with the math bits.
JP, I know you want the Cinderella stories, but the payoff could be worth it here. I know the games haven't been that close, but I like the fact that these top seeds. I mean, if Duke plays Michigan State, that's awesome. Yep. Virginia, Tennessee. Imagine North Carolina, Kentucky, and Elite Eight. Like those are. That's what you dream of as far as being a casual fan and not having Rudy and Inter.
No, I certainly can buy into that argument. I would prefer, like, let's say Gardner-Webb had beaten UVA and Gardner-Webb advances to Sweet 16. I'd love to see just one out of the teams that are left.
You can still have a mid-major go to the Sweet 16, but still have, you know, the blue blood matchups in the Elite Eight or Final Four.
Right. I'm saying have both.
You can have both.
Exactly.
It's not one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, you can. That's fine. And like we said, last year's Loyola Chicago story was great. A little too much Sister Mary, whatever her name was. A little too much for me.
Valdez loved her. He couldn't
Sister
get
Jean.
Sister Jean, whatever. But I like seeing, I want to see the Dukes and the Gonzagas and the Kentucky. I want to see them.
But yeah, but you can have
one.
That.
Right. I would just need one. If UCF beat Duke, then I just root for UCF, right? And then you still have your UNC, you still got UVA, you got Gonzaga, so it's three number ones. You still got Michigan State and Michigan. I mean, you got your blue bloods. You just have one true Cinderella.
But UCF, Virginia Tech sucks.
That's one game, though. There's eight games.
So Duke, Virginia Tech could suck.
Exactly.
I don't think it will.
I'm with you,
right? I don't think it will. I think it'll be a good game.
By the way, we're going to have the voice of Virginia Tech, John Lazor, on at 9:20. So we'll get his take on the Hokies' chances against number one Duke. Coming up at 9:20, Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter. He'll join us at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area because it works. Visit EMP180.com and get empowered. Get your Junkies calendar out. We are out and about a lot in the next week or two.
Yep.
And you want to listen for all the deets. Cakes and I are going to be at Willie's Brew and Q Opening day is Thursday.
It is.
It's a day game. Mm-hmm. Scherzer against DeGrom. That is a monster matchup.
And we're broadcasting live from the park before the game.
We are. But after the game, we're going to be at Willie's Brew and Q having a good time, having a few pops. So join us from 4 to 6 at Willie's Brew and Q.
I would guess Willie's Brew and Q is roughly, this is just a guess, JP, 450 to 500 steps from the Nats Park center field gates. Somewhere around that range. It couldn't be easier if you're at the Nats game. Just to walk right on over and hang out with
us. Well, that whole area is going to be mobbed. It's going to be a good time.
Yep.
A good scene on Thursday.
We have a great setup with Homewood Suites, which is a fantastic hotel right down the street from us where they valet our cars.
They do. It's very nice of them.
It's a little strange when we come back later in the day. Like, it's a new crew. Like, sometimes those people don't know us. Are you going to do that bit?
Oh, yeah.
100%. You're not going to stay here.
I'm going to brief them.
You know what? They don't need a briefing. I'm just going to show up after Willie's Brew and Q and pick up my ride.
No, no, but are you going to go home first and then come back?
No, I have a plan. I've got my whole day set up.
I'm going to
broadcast at Nats Park, and then I'm going to sprint to an Uber, and I'm going to go to MGM.
So you're leaving your car there?
I'm leaving my car there. I'm going to get my monthly bullet. Hopefully felt somebody was set over set at MGM National Harbor. And then I'm going to look down at my imaginary watch on my right. on my arm at about 3:15, and then I'm Uber back to Willie's Brew and Q for the appearance.
So your car will be taken care of. My point is, when I have valeted in the morning, and the morning crew, they know Jason Bishop, they know John Auville, they know John Paul Flame. They know the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I pick up my car and I go, and then I do it again the next morning.
Yeah.
But on the few occasions, and I actually believe it was the last time I had an appearance at Willie's Brew and Q, it might have been when I took the hotel for the snowfall.
Yes.
And then I showed up at a different time slot. And I show up at, let's say, 3:30 on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, those people, they look at me like, who am I?
They might not know the drill.
And then I go, I'm one of the radio guys. And they look at me with the blank stare. And I say, oh, we leave our cars. And the blank stare continues.
Radio
and then eventually somebody
Somebody swoops in.
But it's just awkward for those two or three minutes where there's blank stares.
I think our guy Chris has gotten everybody, for the most part, up to speed. I think everybody kind of knows what the situation is.
I mean, let me tell you, they couldn't be friendlier. I will tell you, a couple of those guys that will bring the key, they just deliver the keys. Like, they couldn't be happier all the time.
Yeah. They love their jobs. They love their gigs.
I mean,
or at least they pretend to.
Yes. They're happy they're in, you know, in this great country of ours.
They put on a brave face.
By the way, make sure
you
tell them.
You're big on where are they from.
Yeah, they're all from Ethiopia.
I mean, they're happy people.
All of them.
Ethiopians are happy people.
Make sure you tell them not to bring your car around because you're going to Uber. I assume you're going to Uber from here.
Most likely, yeah.
Or tell them, because they may not know that, and then bring the car around. The car will be sitting there for hours.
10 till 7.
I'm sure I care.
7.
I mean, like, eventually they'll just say.
I know, I'm just saying.
I'll brief them. I'll let them know.
That's all I'm saying. Just brief them.
I'll give them a little bit of a heads up.
I'm going to brief them as well.
Okay, good. Good. I've got all that situated.
Why, are you going to opening day? Are you going to stay for the game? You're not going to Willie's Brew and Q, are you?
I'm not doing Willie's.
Yeah, come hang with us at Willie's Brew and Q. Some fellowship, camaraderie.
Probably won't. But I was thinking about going for a couple innings of opening day.
Very good.
I just don't want to be on the road on 66 or the toll road, you know, rush hour time. I want to be home before that.
I don't blame you.
It's a pain in the butt.
I'm sure it is.
But anyway.
To get out to Loudoun County from D.C. at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Thursday, Willie's Brew and Q, 4 to 6. And then, of course, we've got 106.7 The Fan Day on Saturday, which is going to be fun.
Do we
know who's throwing out the opening pitch?
I have not.
We've done that in the past.
I have not been debriefed on that.
A listener.
Very cool.
I believe.
So we're going to have a listener throwing out the first pitch. 106.7 The Fan Day. We'll be sitting in our section.
I know who it won't be.
People need their lanyards.
It won't be Rom. Because didn't he actually win that honor a few years ago, and CK stepped in and said,
no, I thought he wanted to say play ball, play blackjack ball.
Maybe that was it. And CK just said, it's impossible that you're going to have a mic.
Radio.
You're going to have a live mic at Nationals Park. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he was going to say play blackjack ball.
Radio insider.
Can you imagine how off the rails that would go if you gave Rom a live mic at Nats Park in front of 30,000 people?
Yes.
It would not go well.
All right, we got Craig Hoffman joining us at 9, our Redskins beat reporter. He is covering the owners' meetings down in Arizona. John Lazor, the voice of Virginia Tech, can join us at 9:20. So why don't we open up the entertainment page, find out what's going on in Hollywood, get some celebrity scoop, talk some music,
not
movies.
EB's entertainment page at all, because he is in the Sunshine State. So it's Cakes' entertainment page for the week. So I will lead with the box office. It is a Monday. Us, big fat winner at the box office, made $70 million in its debut weekend, doubling projections. People thought it would pull in between $38 and $45 million. I said, no. We're making $70 million on a $20 million budget, Valdez.
Kevin gave it a 5 out of 5, his first 5 of the year.
Word of mouth is really good on this flick. I think we have to see it. And I really liked Get Out, by the way. He said it's better than Get Out.
Some people were bitter because he made a comparison on the show, but he likened Jordan Peele to Alfred Hitchcock. See, you're kind of smirking.
It's heady praise.
No, I mean, he's had Get Out in this movie. He's
only
movies,
had two movies. Sorry.
And smashes.
So that $70 million haul is enough to land at the second best opening weekend of the year behind Disney's Captain Marvel, which made $153 million. Us now has the largest weekend for an original horror movie, surpassing A Quiet Place, as well as the biggest launch for an original R-rated movie behind Ted. Also shattered the benchmark set by Peele's directorial debut, Get Out, which launched with $33 million back in 2017. So he more than doubled what Get Out did with Us. So, I mean, that's tracking to
be a monster.
I mean,
it looks freaky in the trailers, everything I've seen. I'd like to see it.
Peele's,
I like Get Out.
Peele's just got this, he's just got an evil, dark mind.
He does, apparently.
And he's really funny,
he's
too.
He's a funny dude.
He's just incredibly creative.
Kind of like the Jux. He's
a
renaissance,
creative,
he's a renaissance
talented dude.
Man. He's a renaissance man.
I'm going to see it. But I want people to text me. Don't give anything away. Just tell me, is it better than Get Out if you've seen it? Look, one guy will say it sucked, and I won't see it.
Give them the text number so they can text you personally.
800-636-1067.
There you have it.
The zip line.
You want a $5 Tuesday?
Oh, absolutely.
They have $5 Tuesday at mine. You have to be like an AMC
I've got a gift card I can use.
You have a gift card?
I got a gift card at Christmas. I still haven't used it.
Really?
So I'm going to use that.
Very good.
So it doesn't really matter when I go.
Rounding out your top five at the box office, Captain Marvel came in second with $35 million. It's now made $321 million in just 3 weeks. Wonder Park, I mean, it's an animated feature. It's made $29 million now. 5 Feet Apart and How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. That is your fifth place movie this weekend. It's made $145 million.
Not to bum rush your EP, but this is promo related.
Mm-hmm.
And since you were talking about movies, it's also movie related. Who's been in more movies than Lisa Ann, who I believe is going to be on the show tomorrow?
Lisa Ann, the former porno star?
I don't know if she's a former or current.
I think she's
draft.
I think
is she going to be on the show tomorrow?
No, I know what she's up to these days. She's knee deep or neck deep into fantasy sports.
I think you might be mistaken, Cakes. I think she's going to appear at the cloakroom and she's putting on a show.
Oh,
am I right on that?
So she's dabbling with.
I've seen promos like on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know.
She'll be in tomorrow.
I don't think she's at the cloakroom to talk fantasy.
Maybe she's
not.
No.
But she loves sports. She'll be talking about her bracket and all kinds of stuff tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
She'll
what
be in
time?
Here.
9 o'clock.
She's in the studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess she's been in more movies than Jordan Peele.
Oh, she's been in way more movies than Jordan Peele.
But I don't
way
know.
More.
Yes.
She's probably been in 100 times more than Jordan Peele's been.
I would say 400 more.
I would guess. All right, so that's a late guest booking. Lisa Ann.
9 o'clock
tomorrow. Pants off.
Is she going to break down the brackets with us?
She might. You never know.
Drabby.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Julia Roberts, she sounds like a fun mom. She apparently has banned her kids from social media, and she limits how much television they can watch as well. She's parents to 14-year-old twins Hazel and Finn, and her 11-year-old son's name is Henry. Apparently, they don't watch TV, no social media. I guess they just read books all the time.
I don't have a problem with the social media ban. The TV thing, that's a little harsh.
Yeah. I mean, come on, let your
social
kids watch
media
TV.
Is just evil all the way around. Not good for teenagers. I should have banned my kids years ago.
Who's the father of her kids? She's been married a few times. Was she married to Richard Gere? Lyle Lovett.
I don't think she was ever married to Richard Gere. They may have had a fling. I could be wrong. I don't think they were married.
Pretty Woman together.
I think they were just a movie together.
Well, she was definitely married to Lyle Lovett.
She was married to him. She has an 11-year-old son with husband Danny Moder. I think he was like a cameraman. Valdez, can you follow up on that? Was he a cameraman or something like that? Behind the scenes type of guy.
Gotcha.
Do some work on Danny Moeder over there. Papa John's announced Shaquille O'Neal as their new brand ambassador. He's going to be the company's first African-American board member. The fifth highest scoring player in NBA history also was recruited as the official face of the struggling pizza giant. Quote from Shaq, "I've truly enjoyed the high quality Papa John's product for years, and I'm excited to be able to help Papa John's raise their game to new heights." So he's going to be a board member. He's going to get fat stock options,
by the way,
sure.
Speaking of height, I just met a new guy that works here. Have you ever met John? He's from Philadelphia.
Another guy named John.
He's a sales guy slash analytics guy.
Oh, you know what?
He's 6'9".
He walked into the bathroom as I was exiting, right. I think on Friday, and I had to crane my neck to look up at him.
I told CK we need to start a 106.7 The Fan hoops team because we'd have a 6'9 guy and Jason.
Not size.
We'd be tall.
I'll be your biggest cheerleader. I'm not blowing out my Achilles with John from wherever he's from.
John.
Philly, 6'9", John from Philly. No, thank you.
I mean, Jason had to look up.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
How long has he been here?
I have no idea.
I haven't seen him many times.
Okay,
he said he was new.
Mark down today's date.
A couple months.
Today's
maybe.
Date was March 23rd, whatever.
Yeah. You'll see him next March 23rd.
If he's here by Thanksgiving, consider me shocked. Personally.
Really?
And that's nothing personal against him.
And I'm not making a height joke. I think he's kind of a big silly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's from corporate.
Okay.
And analytics just sounds like a big silly.
Probably makes sales cash like you do.
I'm sure he probably makes way more than I do.
A lot.
I'm just going with the numbers. I'm a numbers person, okay? I'm a man of science, JP. You know this. I'm very analytical. I'm just going to go with the numbers and say he will not be here seven, 8 months from now.
What was your major in high school? Because we had to have like a major in high school.
I was a bio major. I was a biology major. This guy, biology major.
Cakes told me the other day he's made $72,000 just in poker this year.
I did not tell you any such thing.
I'm sure he told Uncle Sam. I mean,
now why are you lying?
$72,000.
And you reported every cent of it.
Every single cent.
He stashed it in his seat cushion.
You know what? I have to report every cent because there's some tax issues behind the scenes.
Ain't that the truth?
I'm going to be on April 15th. My bank account is getting debited by a large amount. Not credit.
And I know
debited.
I know how
there's
much
a big time debit coming out of my account. Again, man of science, JP. Numbers.
All right, coming up next, Craig Hoffman's going to join us. He's our Redskins beat reporter. We'll get back into March Madness. John Lazor at 9:20. Voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.